Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Central College has recently been certified as an affiliate of the B Campus USA program, the first in Iowa. Why do bees matter? Let's go in depth with Paulina Mena, professor of biology at Central College. Professor Mena, when did you first start getting interested in bees?
Actually, it was in my undergrad. I'm from South America. I was in Chile doing my undergrad in biology. And there's a big group there that works with bees, so that's how I got introduced to bees.
A big group, like a bunch of researchers,
yes.
Different
mm-hmm.
universities?
A couple universities.
Mm-hmm. And so then you came to Iowa,
mm-hmm.
studied at the University of Iowa.
Yes.
Bees?
I did my PhD in evolution of flies. And looking at the genome and how the genome organization has to do with their adaptation. And then recently, I just came back to bees because I wanted my research to have a conservation focus to it, too.
But you're a field biologist and you do genetic stuff. People don't always do both, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of a unique set of skills that you bring to bear.
Yeah, it was also part of my PhD. We looked at bees that are endemic to the U.S. where we could go collect them, and then we would look at their genomes and their chromosomes and their genes specifically, too.
Now, there's a lot of people that are thinking, why study bees? Why don't you give us the breakdown on why this isn't some esoteric academic subject? This is something that matters to all of us.
Yes. So I'm sure you've heard about the importance of them as pollinators. So they're crucial not only for natural ecosystems, but for the food that we grow for subsistence. In Iowa, the two main crops don't really need them. But if you think of the big picture for us to have a healthy diet, they are necessary for lots of crops that we wouldn't have if bees weren't around, and that give us certain nutrients like folic acid and other things that are only in these other crops. So we would have food to survive, but it would be a sad existence without bees.
Well, like we'd lose all of our fruits, we'd lose many of our vegetables.
It's around 70% of our fruits and some vegetables require bees.
All right, and I remember hearing once that the Iowa native bees are gone or just about gone. Is that true?
So hopefully they're not gone, but that's a huge thing. So the bee that everybody thinks of is the honeybee, but that's an introduced species. It came from Europe with the settlers. We have about 400 species of native bees in Iowa, and they are very different from the honeybee, but they are really the main pollinators. So they're really good because they're specialized. Lots of them are specialized in a particular kind of plant. So, for example, we have special squash bees that come out early in the morning only for the squash, when the squash flowers are open, ready for pollinization. Other ones have a special adaptation in their mouth parts are particularly best for a certain plant. There's a bunch of generalists too. So everybody's seen the bumblebees. And those guys are good because there's some plants that honeybees can't pollinate because they just can't get their pollen out. So for example, all the plants in the nightshade family, like tomatoes and potatoes and things like that, they need a buzz pollination, is called. So a certain movement that they do with their vibration, that they do with their flight muscles, that they uncouple them from the wings and they just move them. It's a sonication. And that's the only way to release certain plants their pollen. And honeybees can't do that. And so they're just incapable of pollinating things like tomatoes and potatoes.
Have we lost plants? Well, first, I didn't know there was that great diversity of bees. That's just my ignorance. Or that great diversity even in Iowa, or that they were so specialized. Are there plants that we've lost because we've lost specific bees?
So we don't know that. That's a big unknown. So we have hints that the populations are declining. So we've studied some things with bumblebees are telling us that populations are declining, or insects in general that they're declining, but we need lots more research to know exactly what's happening. So we know recently, it was last year, one bumblebee was put in the endangered species list, but we think that really much more is, you know, should be on the list, but we don't have that information. And so that's part of our job that we're doing this summer.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about bees with Paulina Mena, professor of biology at Central College. What do you say to people that say putting different bees on endangered species lists and protecting the bees and stuff like that is getting in the way of economic development and humans and hurting our economy?
And so you can look at that in different ways. So first of all, for us to be a healthy society, we need natural ecosystems. So things like the prairie, that you might think like you can't get a crop out of the prairie, so it doesn't have that direct economic impact. It does give us ecological services anyway. But if you think of the more direct benefits also, they are pollinating crops. So they are necessary to maintain. And especially when we think of, I'm sure everybody's heard of the things that are happening with the honeybee populations. Every winter we lose 70% or more of the hives. And so we've been relying on this one species for pollination when that's not sustainable. We need to have a diverse group of insects that do this pollination. So for that we need to conserve those, the native species.
Now, I've read recently that maybe it's Iowa, there was a plan to take a lot of cropland out of production of row crops. And then I have a friend, a smart friend, well-educated friend that says, I can't believe that we're doing that. We're taking a lot of productive land out of use, and I don't understand why we need more grasslands and more prairies and more land not under cultivation. And this is a smart person. What do you say to her?
To be able to maintain this crop, this land, this cropland working long time for what we want it, we need to do these things. And so we need to prevent erosion and maintain the populations like of pollinators, so give them ecosystems to live, habitat to live in. And so to maintain what a healthy cropland, we need to have natural land too.
As we were setting up, you mentioned that there were students working inside in mm-hmm. the lab. Mm-hmm. So you're involving students, which is great. Can you describe, sort of give us an overview of your research project?
Okay, so we have two projects going on this summer, parallel. So one is with our Prairies for Agriculture project that's directed by Dr. Benedict, that's one of our biology professors. And so there, the idea of the whole project in general is to look at how prairies actually have an impact for agriculture. So exactly what you were talking about. So we need prairies for agriculture to be successful and sustainable into the future. And so this project is focused on providing evidence of what farmers can do with their unfarmable land. So it's common for people to plant non-native grasses, and those don't give an ecosystem benefit. We want to show that having a prairie in your planting prairie in your non-farmable land is going to give you a benefit. And so what we're studying specifically with our students this summer is how can you bring more pollinators to your land with the prairie that you have. And so we have different species of prairie plants planted there, so we're assessing which ones are better for that, so then we can give recommendations to farmers of like if you're going to spend money on seeds, spend it on these seeds because it's going to be more, give you more bang for your buck in terms of bringing ecosystem service, bringing pollinators to your land. And then the other project is we need to do a survey of the bees of Iowa. So we have an estimate that there's 400 bees, different species, but nobody really has done a survey of like how many species we have and what is their population status at this point. And so that is our second project. So we are assessing three different sites in central Iowa where we look at remnant prairies, planted prairies, and ruderal grasslands to get an idea of that exactly. What species do we have and what is their conservation status?
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about bees with Paulina Mena, professor of biology at Central College.
Wouldn't it be cool for you to discover a new species of bee?
Oh, and that could happen because we have bees are so neglected in the science world now that there's tons of species that have not been described.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have in the back of your mind your description?
Well, taxonomy is not my thing, so I probably wouldn't do that myself, but I have colleagues that I would send that to once if we can't identify the species, it's a high chance that it would actually be a new species, so we can send it to get looked at.
And is that a real possibility?
Yeah, definitely. That happens all the time with bees.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So incredibly diverse. I guess they're probably as diverse or more than the plants that they rely on.
It could be, actually, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's a mutualistic relationship,
yes.
Right? Isn't that what you call that in biology?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they each depend on each other for that.
So some of us don't have, you know, great many acres, but we've all got, well, many of us have yards or, you know, just even put plants out on the deck or whatever, even if we're in an apartment. Do you have any can we actually make a difference?
Definitely. Everybody can make a difference. And so one thing that everybody can do is embrace weeds. Because there's lots of weeds, like we tend to have an obsession with having a completely green, pristine lawn. But dandelions, for example, are the first flowers to bloom and therefore the only substance that honeybees and native bees have early in the spring. And so if you hate them, but you're willing to give be a little flexible if you leave them early in the spring until they're done blooming, that is a great benefit. And then if you're willing to go a little further, if you plant plants that are in general that are good for bees, even if they're not native, so lots of herbs are good, so mints, they love mints, thyme, like all those herbs that we just like to eat, those are good for them too, so you can do that. And then if you want to get even better, it's if you plant native things. That's really the ultimate benefit that you can do. If you can plant native plants in your yard, that would be the best for the native bees.
And I guess we can just go to the greenhouse or online, wherever we get our plants and say we want native Iowa plants, native Iowa flowers.
Yes, mm-hmm. That would be the best. And the best would also be if they don't have pesticides. So a main issue that we have now is a certain pesticide. In general, pesticides are not good. They seem to affect bees. But one that has a big impact is neonicotinoids. And lots of, it's a seed coating that they put on most seeds, actually. You have to really ask for non-neonic seeds. And that it's a systemic chemical, so it's going to be in all the plant and even the plants next to it, and that seems to have a non-lethal effect. So with all the parasites that they have and environmental conditions, seems to have a really bad effect. We know definitely for honeybees and bumblebees, so we're assuming that does the same with native bees.
I guess I've always liked dandelions since I was a little kid. I just liked them, and as I grew up, I grew up in a place where we didn't do anything about our dandelions; they just were there. But you know, as I grew older, I learned that a lot of people don't like dandelions, that they spray them, that they're this big, almost mortal enemy of the of the person in their yard. There's no real reason we should. That's a cultural thing, isn't
yes,
it? That we're sort
definitely.
Of taught that. Can we break that down?
Yeah, I mean, what we call weed is a cultural thing. And so it's just what we define, and it's very narrowly defined too. Look, some countries, what they think is a weed we eat, or vice versa. And so it's just, in agriculture, if something takes over the crop, then that is an agricultural weed, and that's a problem because it reduces yield. But in a garden, it's just about what you think is pretty. And so, you know, maybe it has to do with social pressure that the neighbor thinks that the dandelions are not pretty, so then you want to get rid of them too. But it's all up to you what you think is a weed. It's not really a scientific term at all.
Well, now that you're talking about it, it just seems pretty darn silly, some of the stuff that we do for our yards.
Oh, definitely. I don't put any chemicals in my yard. So for prairie restoration, you do need some chemicals because there's some non-native species that are invasive that are hard to get rid of without chemicals. But in a small place, you can do everything by hand. So not using chemicals and allowing natural things to grow is a great benefit to our ecosystem.
And Central College has this new designation with respect to being a campus that is supportive of bees.
Yeah, that's a great accomplishment. It was actually driven by students. And so the environmental science program has a junior and senior seminar where they actually develop a project and they execute it. And two of these students took that on. And so they did everything that was needed for that. So there's lots of parts to it. So the campus has to have habitat. That's one main thing. And the thing is that we already have these things. So they just had to organize it and send it to get approved as, you know, to get it certified. So have habitat for it, have integrated pest management. So our facilities is great also with that. So we don't use lots of pesticides that are, you know, so it's good for our bees and pollinators in general. There has to be education for outreach. So we do a lot of that too. And just courses that are focused on pollinators and signage. So you'll see throughout here. So we have a faculty member that does a research with a monarchs. So there in that little area is a monarch waste station. And then we have our field station that has native prairie. And also another group of students, another pair that did this year's environmental science, they restored another little prairie around here in our cross country course. So we have lots of things that makes a central great for pollinators. And so we're really happy with that designation. The students did all that work. It was great. That's Dr. Anya Butt's students.
Central is the first Iowa college or university to have this designation,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Pride and joy.
What's the most important thing that you can share with our listeners today?
I think the most important thing is to remember that we have so many native bees that are they don't need to be cultivated like honeybees. They don't give us honey, that's a thing, but they do so much for our ecosystem and for our crops that we should really value them. We have 400 different species, or maybe even more, that we need to preserve.
Thanks to Professor Paulina Mena for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.